son, you're gonna drive me to drinking if you don't stop driving that
natural burning, burning car.
Come in, it's your car, and you do what you want with it.
I own this car, I do as I please. I also own the highway, my taxes pay for that. They're both mine. I own the highway and I own the car. I own everything!
Big trouble. That's the rookie Suarez up and over Regan Smith. The big one out there to the trial.
Welcome to the Throwing Wrenches Podcast.
Welcome to episode 4 of the Throwing Wrenches Podcast. This is Eric Stahl.
And I'm Daryl Scott. Thanks, everyone, for listening. And we are on episode number 4. And last week, we were the
Slingshot or the Reliant Robin. I can't remember which one we were dedicated
Polaris
to.
Polaris Slingshot, three-wheeler.
Yeah, so we're 4x4, and you will see as we go through the show that we're all about hot 4x4 action here
on right.
Throwing Wrenches Podcast.
Even wheels are easier to make a reference to than, you know, five wheels. Does anything have five wheels?
Those little German war carts, they had like the motorcycle steering wheel in the front.
Yeah, that's weird.
Those are like half tracks.
I've also seen some strollers on the bike trails and stuff that have too many wheels and they
maybe they have too many kids. So, man,
that's a little more complex. Anyhow, we want to say thanks for listening, whether you just joined us or you've been listening since the very inception of the automobile podcast, the auto podcast that Peoria deserves. I don't know. Is that a good catchphrase?
I came up with that one.
And I think that's a good one, but
should we come up with more? I mean, that was just an idea. I'm spitballing.
I think that's good.
The auto podcast that Peoria deserves. I think I'll throw that at the beginning of the show. We'll see if that works.
It's good delivery there. Yeah. We're still seeking constant improvement. The theme for the show is always Kaizen, which is like some Japanese something or other, right?
I'm going to start. I think that Toyota invented that word, but I think Nissan has their own word, and I believe Honda probably does too.
Yeah.
So I'm going to start investigating with those words. And for all we know, Dodge has that word.
Probably not. If you're talking about constant improvement, I don't know. Sorry, Dodge guys. Love you. I am one of you as well. But
yeah. You're wearing the Ford shirt, so there's probably a word to Ford.
I am.
Too.
I'm wearing a Ford Motor Company t-shirt I bought at Target.
So did you get that from one of our sponsors?
I did not, because we don't have sponsors, Eric.
Oh.
What's going on with that?
I don't know. See, I did do some active web manipulation. Our website now actually has a sponsor section. So if you'd like more information on how to be a sponsor of the Throwing Wrenches podcast, just go to throwingwrenches.com.
Beautiful.
Our rates are cheap. I mean, right now, $100 probably gets you a whole year of podcasts.
Maybe even 10 years. I don't know. We can do it. We could multi-year contract it up.
I think so. You definitely would be you'd be before this segment of the show, which you'd be very thankful for that.
Sure. Eric would also take a lifetime supply of ARB skid plates.
No, I don't want those anymore.
No? You're done?
I'm done. I got CBI.
Oh.
Yeah. CBI will take you as a sponsor.
Well, there it is.
Okay, so we did get a review this week on the iTunes page. I'm just going to read this off. Being only 3 episodes in, these guys are really hitting their stride. Great subject matter, and they sound like they're really enjoying themselves. Always happy when I see a new podcast pop up in my feed. Keep them coming.
Aw, that's really nice.
Yeah.
Do we know this person?
His name is Sophie's Papa. I don't know who that is.
Maybe.
I do. But anyway,
you know
thanks.
What?
Thanks, Sophie's Papa.
That's fantastic. It also reads like every report card I ever had. We're hitting our stride. One day he'll make a difference. Needs to practice self-control.
There was no potential part in there. He never said not hitting potential.
I don't know. Maybe it just struck a nerve because I got issues, repressed childhood issues. But thank you for the review. Eric and I are going to strive to continue to improve here.
Yeah. So the first segment of our show is always ongoing projects. And last time I said I didn't have anything but to detail my truck and put it back on the lot. And that was not really true because this past week, I didn't even tell you about this, I drove a new 4Runner. And I'm like, man, this feels really good.
Uh-oh. And is there one coming?
No, but I got in my old 4Runner and the brakes are vibrating and the tires are vibrating.
There's laundry list in your head like, this needs this, this, and this.
So we put some new rotors on the truck this is crazy, but we lubed the ball joints and oh my God, it steers like a new truck again. So
you have greasable ball joints
in
the 4Runner?
There's it has the ball style upper ball joints with the lift kit that's on it.
Okay.
So you can lubricate those.
Nice.
And made a huge difference. I don't think I realized how hard I was cranking on that wheel just to go around it.
Who knew? It's not metal on metal anymore.
Yeah.
That's good.
My daughter needed a battery in her car this week, so we got that taken care of. My wife had a broken wheel sensor in her Prius.
Ah.
It was literally bouncing around in the back wheel. So when I would drive the car at 70 miles an hour, didn't feel anything. I'm like, she's crazy. And mm-hmm. then she'd call me from work that, you know, the next day when she drove it. There's something wrong with that car. It won't stay on the road, blah, blah. And then come to find out that sensor had been bouncing around in there, so it was causing the wheel to be out of balance sometimes, but other times you didn't even notice it at all.
Weird. Yeah, that's one of the, like, balance in tires is that's an art. I don't care what anyone says, you know, like, oh, I just get tires at Walmart. Good luck, because they're, I mean, I'm sure they do fine, but at the same time, not only can the tires themselves be out of balance, but the rims, you know, then when you hit a pothole and screw everything up, then you got to take it and get rebalanced. Or like you're saying, stuff inside comes off.
You don't even know. Yeah. Well, and the thing about tires, not to get too geeky about this, but if you've ever taken a tire apart and thought, oh, I'll just take a razor blade and cut this thing apart or something like that, the steel belts mm-hmm. that actually go around the perimeter, the outside of the tire where you see the tread, if the tire sits too long in one spot, or if it sits on a rack that maybe is holding it in two points of contact, if that sits for 6 months to a year, you could have a ruined tire that you could never drive to get that out of there, because all it takes is just a little imperfection, a little bend in the steel,
yeah,
in the, that braided wire and in the rubber in there, and
you get those flat spots.
You will never have a tire that you can drive on again and get smooth. So yeah. It's so stupid that something so trivial like that can ruin the whole ride of your car.
Can. I had a friend of mine years ago bought a Corvette. He was a manager at a tire dealership, and yeah. a guy came in and said, I hate how this rides. I'm terrible. You know, I'm going to put it for sale. I just want to put some new tires, get it ready to go. And he's like, well, what do you want for it? And he picked it up, and yeah, he put a new set of tires on it. The thing rode like a brand new car.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, it's one of those things. Tires are.
And it's the least sexy critical. Thing to spend money on, too. You know, yeah. everybody's like, ugh, I got to get tires. And I feel the exact same way, believe me.
Yep.
I know. You know, even though I know when the sales are, and I know when the rebates are and all that stuff, the last thing I want to do is shell out $400 for a set of tires for a Prius. You know, here we go. There's 50,000 miles I just bought, right?
Yeah, but it's worth it. It's worth every penny.
What do you got going on? Because I saw this glowing picture of Daryl sitting in his Volvo headed off to Friday Night Lights.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was inspirational, actually. The whole series of pictures building up to it and then your whole event. And I think even afterwards, I mean, you've been cruising around that thing quite a bit.
Yeah, I got, for those who are just joining, I got a 69 Volvo 144 that I put back on the road after about 25 years or so sitting. And went through the brakes, had a lot of problems sourcing parts, and still have some parts I'm needing to source. But got it on the road, new hoses, flushed the coolant, you know, new belt, one belt. It's great. It's simple to work on. And, yeah, my wife and I have taken it out and, you know, drove it to work a couple times. And it's just a fun little car. So neat. It still needs a little bit of tuning and some, you know, fine detail here or there. But for the most part, it's been fun to get it out. So, yeah, hopefully I'll be at another show or cruising near you. So
that's it. It's a beautiful, the blue color is like this turquoise. It's just yeah. a fun car to look at. If it would have been green or silver or gray, I don't think it would have had the personality that thing has in that color you have.
Yeah, I'm a sucker for blue, any kind of blue. And yeah, that just kind of, it sucked me right in. So no, I appreciate that. And it's still original paint. You get up close to it, it doesn't look pretty, but it's got a little shine. It's just fun.
And the interior looks pretty good too, right?
Yeah, it's not too bad. There's a little bit of dry rot in some spots, and but the headliner's good, carpet's decent, and I can still get all those parts. You just got to wait from, you know, Ole and Sven to mail it over from Sweden. But yeah, they're neat cars to work on. So,
all right. So I generated a new segment this week. I don't know if this won't be a recurring theme, as many of you know if you listen to the shows. I'm a service manager at a Toyota store in the Peoria area. Anyway, I don't like talking about customers, but I had a really, really odd one this week. And you know what?
Do tell.
Yeah. I'm hesitant to give too much detail about this, but okay. I'm pretty sure this customer's not going to know who we're talking about.
The names have been changed to protect the innocent.
Well,
right?
We'll call him Sven or Ali. Right.
There, that works.
Yeah. Anyway, I got a call from a guy. He's been a longtime customer. He's owned three or four cars from us over the years. And he's like, man, this old car, I can't get it out of the drive. I'm going to have you guys look at it. I'm like, oh, what's going on? Well, I replaced number three spark plug. I replaced a coil pack of number three because number three's got misfire. I replaced the fuel injector, and it's still not running right. And so I've just had it sitting here, and I looked at his history. I mean, the car has not been to the dealership in 5 or 6 years. I forgot he had this car because he's got a couple of new cars since then.
Okay.
But I think he was trying to get it ready for his daughter or something to go to college or something like that. He's like, so, hey, by the way, what recommend do you have for tow company and all that stuff? And I'm like, so I set him up. And then he's like, by the way, I got this letter for a recall on this thing, too. Can you do that while it's there? And I'm like, well, there's airbag recalls. You know, that's pretty common right now and everything.
Takata thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So the car got towed in. And this thing actually has a recall, a very old recall for an ECU problem where the green board would actually crack in cold weather. And sometimes it would make contact, sometimes it wouldn't.
Okay.
But the thing was, it could be anything. The radio might not work, and you might have a communication problem with a wheel sensor. You had no idea what was going to happen on this thing. Well, sure enough, number three cylinder was being affected by this ECU.
No kidding.
This guy has literally burned God knows how many brain cells trying to work on his own car.
Hundreds of dollars of, parts and stuff. Yeah.
And then it's literally sitting like in a graveyard. The car came in with cobwebs in it. The car had been sitting so long. I'm like, you moron. You've had this letter for like 7 or 8 years. This recall is ancient.
Yeah.
And I just don't get it sometimes. You know, I see it a lot where a customer will call me a year after recall and say, hey, I got a hole in my frame. Or, hey, I got this wrong in my vehicle. The visor keeps falling down. Well, there was a recall or a customer service program on these things.
Yeah.
But you didn't call in. You know, when you got the letter. And I know these people got the letter. I know Toyota sent out 5 or 6 letters because they don't just give you one letter in a press release. They actually try and hit you several times. It just, I will not figure out that mentality.
I don't know. Is it the mentality that everybody's busy? I don't got time. I don't want to be, you know, dropping the car off and arranging. I mean, I'm not legitimizing it because you're giving me that look like
no,
you're still.
And I am because, you know, it's hard for me because I'm on the other side handing. I mean, it's free money.
Yeah.
It's free money from Toyota or whatever manufacturer to you.
Yeah.
And to me, too. But I just think when you – I don't have the luxury of having a car to sit out in my yard that doesn't run for 3 or 4 years.
Like, I'll get around to it.
Yeah.
No, that's not how I work.
So, so he probably bought another car in the meantime.
Yeah. if he had that car fixed, he wouldn't have bought the other 3 Toyotas from
True, so. True. So I guess I can't complain about that.
Maybe. But, circle of life or something.
Yeah. All I'm going to say, kids, you know, drink your Ovaltine and get your recalls done, okay? And if you get a customer support program and it says, hey, we're going to enhance the warranty on this item, if your sun visor falls down before 150,000 miles, we're going to give you a new one. Well, don't call me at 151,000 miles. It just broke yesterday.
Right. Yeah. That money was free for the taking. You could have had it all taken care of. No, it's true, and I'm guilty of that. We recently moved. There it is. Big boy words. And
congratulations.
My wife's got one of those Takata airbag recalls on her Jeep.
Okay.
And I think I got it at the other house, and then it was like forwarded mail. It's like, oh, they found our new house, and oh, we still didn't get that recall in. But for that one, they were still waiting on parts.
Yeah.
So you get the recall notice, you're like, great, and you call the schedule, and it's like, yeah, 6 months later, I'll call you. You know, but that's totally different. That's the kind of thing everyone's read about that, probably experienced that. So
I don't know. Did you see the stuff that Honda put out last year on their Takata recall mailers?
No.
It showed a picture of a woman with a big old piece of metal in her eye.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah. It was total scare tactic. And I think that since Honda knows that they didn't make the airbags, they can blame it squarely on Takata, who's now bankrupt.
But they had someone buy them, though, didn't they?
I think Toyota. I think one of the big Jap automakers did buy them. But ultimately, you know, they can pass the blame back to the manufacturer. So Honda doesn't look like the bad guy. Honda looks like they're trying to save your life. But it literally was the goriest faces of death type thing.
Wow.
Yeah.
No, I need to Google that later.
Yeah, it's gross.
Hey, boys and girls, check that out on your phone later.
Yeah.
Well, it's like the old smoking, anti-smoking commercials or something.
With the lungs.
Yeah, they show guys burn lungs or something. You know, when you're 17, it didn't matter. But I don't know. Maybe now if you've got your kids in a car or something, it's like, oh, here's this recall. Yeah. I should just call the dealer and get that taken care of.
Yeah. So. And it's not a matter of the airbag's not going to go off. It's more of a matter of the airbag's going to go off, but it's going to cling on to a piece of metal onto it and throw that in your face. So
not good.
That's not what you want happening. So anyway, that was my customer of the week.
Dun, dun, dun. We need like some fanfare or something, or like a drum roll. Sound effects.
Yeah. Maybe we can get the Elon Musk music going.
No. Maybe.
No Elon news this week. I'm just going to let you kids know that. We're Elon free, I believe.
What are we doing here? I thought this was a...
Elon bashing has to stop. By the way, I don't know if you saw the present we got from one of our listeners.
Yeah, the Matchbox car?
Yes. Yeah. I'd like to thank... We have a Tesla fan who listens to the show, and he sent me this beautiful navy blue Tesla S in a Matchbox. I haven't opened it. I'm keeping it just in case it's a collector's item.
It might be.
At the Spoon River Drive in 20 years from now, they'll be like, yeah, remember that Tesla company? These were going to be the biggest thing.
How much do you want for that there car in the box?
$299.
$299.
Yeah. Well, I got one of those Tesla S models out behind the barn right now.
A couple years ago, I almost bought a BJ and the Bear
kit.
It was like an Ertl model
kit. It was the red and white?
Yeah, it was like a Kenworth Aerodyne or something, some cab over, you know, red and white, beautiful 70s truck. And the guy wanted like $50 or something, and I couldn't sell my wife. I'm like, this thing's awesome. She's like, no, you're an adult. What are you doing? So I don't know. Maybe if you hold on to that, like you said.
There's no monkey in that thing. So no. First off, if you don't know what BJ and the Bear was, it was no bear in BJ and the Bear.
No.
And it wasn't about a cop either. It was about a semi-driver who drove around with a chimpanzee.
Yeah, well, Snowman from Smokey the Bandit, he had a dog. Yeah. I can't remember. Fred? He was a hound dog.
Yeah, but ever since I heard that story about that gal getting her eyeballs ripped out by her pet chimpanzee after he drank the red wine,
yeah,
I'm thinking, I don't want to be riding in a car.
Probably not going to be taking him down the highway with, that whole thing. Yikes.
All right, not car related.
Nah, in other news, we want to shift gears here and do some international.
Yeah, let's go to international.
International news. Keeping in a Volvo theme, I swear to God I'll stop talking about these cars.
This is the Volvo and electric car show. To say that.
I'm sorry. But it keeps coming up in my search, you know, like suggested videos when I watch, you know, rally videos on YouTube. Polestar. Polestar is a brand, if you're an aficionado years ago, you probably remember that was kind of like Volvo's sports model, you know. Mercedes has their AMG and Audi's, you know, their S Sport, whatever.
Yeah.
That was kind of like Volvo's thing. And they did some neat little cars. I think you could get a little C30 with a little warmed over turbo and some other goodies on it. Well, now what they've done is they've branched off and they've spun it off into a separate division that is solely focused on performance electric hybrids and probably eventually full electric vehicles, which is kind of neat. They actually debuted at the Goodwood Festival of Speed here last month.
And I was not familiar with the Goodwood Festival of Speed.
Yes, of course, Eric. Goodwood is Lord March's famous Lord March's compound. Now, it's a weird thing. Just rich British dude and then all these other folks just bring their cool cars and race around on his private race course. How awesome would that be, by the way?
I could put a track out in my front yard.
Yeah? This is cool. Call it like
we call it Deadwood or something.
Yeah, I think that sounds good. Going to need to sign a waiver and get on that property. But, they brought their new vehicle that they're kind of testing, and it's called Polestar 1. It's basically an S90 hybrid that they, a four-door sedan that they turn into a coupe and kind of length it a little bit. It looks like a Mustang. It's got very, very Mustang-like stance, proportions. It's kind of neat looking, but not groundbreaking by any means. But what's groundbreaking is it's got a 2-liter supercharged and turbocharged 4-cylinder and then a 2-electric motor plug-in hybrid setup that makes an additional 200-some horse. So grand total, all wheels on the ground hauling, this thing makes like 600 horse. And it's kind of neat, but
3-second 0-60 time?
Yeah, it's like 3.3 seconds or something. It's insane, like all those electric kind of hybrids.
The only thing that limits you in those cars is your tires.
Yeah.
It's literally, how much can you stick to the ground just to keep that thing moving?
Absolutely. The fascinating thing, there's some clips out on YouTube. You can see it going around the track in Goodwood, and it's neat. It's pretty quiet. It's kind of, you know, like all the electrics. It's just a little weird seeing this thing. You hear road noise because it doesn't make much noise. but they're built in Chengdu, China.
Yeah, I saw the China aspect on that. We're all about Chinese cars here lately, it seems like.
Yeah, that just seems to be a lot of stuff being built over there, including this, which has a $150,000 price tag. I don't know. For that price, half that, I think, even less than half that, you can get a pretty decent size chunk of something, Corvette or Mustang, that'll probably do something similar.
Well, when you're in the electric car market, I don't know that the price tag really matters that much to you.
I guess.
Unless you're buying a Tesla S, you know.
That's true. Although they came down, though, a little bit, though.
The S's are only like 40 grand, right?
I thought they were more. I thought that was the 3.
Oh, yeah.
The Model 3
would
have
been smaller. I don't know. I know the X, and I know nothing.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Well, and you have your scale model of the S, so there you go. So that's the only...
I'm an S owner.
International. I'm a Tesla owner. I got a poster of Elon in my bedroom.
Yeah, we weren't going to talk about that, remember?
I know.
All right. Moving on to national news. And this one was funny to me. Trump has a workforce initiative. As the press release reads here, the White House is calling on businesses, including new car and truck dealerships, to sign the Pledge to America's Workers to improve workforce development and increase vocational training opportunities for students and workers over the next 5 years. On July 19th, he signed the executive order establishing the National Council for the American Worker and the American Workforce Policy Advisory Board, which includes the Pledge Initiative. I understand completely where this is coming from, and we talk a lot at the dealership because I have a couple guys I brought up through the Pekin Vocational School.
Oh, cool.
I think that vocational school is great. Mm-hmm. I think it gives kids an opportunity to go up into the workforce without having to go to college or do your traditional career path that, you know, maybe they don't need to go to college for this. Maybe they don't want to even go to technical school. They can get what they need and then move right directly into the workforce.
Yeah.
There's just something about this that stinks like of this 1950s socialism or populist movement or almost a propaganda. The whole thing was kind of ugly to me. Mike Rowe, if you listen to Mike Rowe at all.
Sure. Formerly Dirty Jobs guy.
Yeah. He's got great commentary on these type of programs across the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe Donald Trump was listening to him. I don't know. Because it really does smell like something. I'm surprised Rowe wasn't there signing this thing with him.
He's got his own separate group now that Mike Rowe works, right?
Yeah,
Does it raise money and then give it to like trade stuff? Or
I think so. And I'm not going to talk much about it because I don't really know enough about it. But if you listen to him, and he does a podcast and he does some videos every once in a while.
Sure.
He's blowing this horn. This is his subject. So I think Trump is just kind of making it even bigger. But do we need this? I don't know. I think there's a lot of schools I know in our area, and I know this is because I know this stuff because my kids are in school.
Mm-hmm.
Mackinac has very small vocational facility. I think same thing with Tremont. I think a lot of the smaller schools don't even bother with the vocational.
Yeah,
The bigger schools kind of work with it. But I think it's definitely a good thing, and if it gets people jobs that are in reality to them, there's no reason to send a kid to U of I to get $100,000 in student loans in 2 years.
Right.
If he doesn't want to have a career in English or something like that. Maybe he does need to get his hands dirty, or he wants to, mm-hmm. and nobody ever gave him that opportunity. So I think these programs are good. If it means more money for the schools to teach this, then I'm all for it.
Absolutely.
If it's just for them to put worker signs up with the women flexing their arms,
yeah,
then I'm skeptical.
A little Rosie the Riveter.
Yeah.
Well, and also to to set up another council or something like that. I mean, Department of Education weren't they part of the college bound curriculum? I mean, like every kid needs to go to college, and it's like I remember sitting. I didn't take small engines. In high school, I did AP classes and all that stuff. I wanted to, and of course, at the time, my counselor, my parents, my dad's a retired teacher. You know, it's like, hey, you should smart kid, apply yourself, go to college. Do great things. And I wanted to hang out in, Mr. Sapansky's shop class and work on that Park Avenue and tear a motor out of it and stuff. And my senior year, I wound up doing that. But it was like an elective, and I was with another friend of mine, and we were like way ahead of the other kids in the class because, like we were talking kind of before the show started, maybe it's just a generational thing. But when I was in high school, the kids that were in shop class were kids that were often in trouble outside of class.
Kids who couldn't even do math problems or science, they would just like put them on the fast track out to the vocational center.
Exactly. And even in high school in the 90s where I grew up in the Chicago suburbs, we used to have a really good vocational program. They wound up closing that down and sending kids to a big one that it was shared by a lot of others in Lake County. Now, I think the upside to the bigger centers is there's a little more specialized
because this stuff isn't cheap, so you can have the tools, the hunter balancers and the laser alignment machines and stuff like that. And in Pekin, they have a photo lab. They even have a restaurant. You can go in. You can go in every day for lunch at Pekin High School, and they actually have a whole hospitality department there where they're teaching kids how to cook and do restaurant management.
I didn't know.
Yeah, pretty cool.
Huh. Yeah, I mean, definitely. As things get more complex, and more than anybody, this isn't something that's just, change oil and rotate tires. I mean, automobile technicians, diagnostic stuff. I mean, it's just getting more and more complex. So it only makes sense to kind of further that. So I don't know whether this is going to accomplish any of that.
It stinks of propaganda, but we should get into it sometime, maybe in a future show. I gave a small speech to ICC. It was really terrible because I don't like giving speeches.
I'm sure you're fine.
It was awful. Trust me.
Yeah, it was terrible. What are you talking about?
It was. I didn't record it, thank God. But
Somebody did.
But my point was, to the kids I was speaking to, I think it was the inflection point of their careers. They're going to be about 40 years old when we're going to have the largest transition from gasoline to electric cars. I mean, that's the point where all the manufacturers have said, we're not making gas cars. States are saying they're not going to accept gas cars. Foreign countries are saying they're not going to have gas cars. And these guys, if they're graduating high school right now and they're going to vocational school right now, at the middle of their career, they're going to see the biggest shift in our industry ever. So everything you learn today is great. If you learn how to tune a carburetor, if you learn how to, you know, put some rings on a piston,
sure,
great. But what I need to know is you have the ability to learn, because what you're going to need to do is be able to change what you're doing. You need to be able to adjust with the times. You know, the guys that are in my shop say, oh, I don't know how to work on computers. Oh, I hate those computers. They're dinosaurs, man.
Yeah.
Their careers are going to be done before they know it. It really sucks. But so that was the gist of the speech. I think I just gave it better there.
It's a good summation. You boiled down a two-hour speech into two sentences.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
Well done.
Anyway. Also on national news, and I told Daryl, and I don't think we brought this up in the show, we need to talk about more gasoline-infused news stories, because everything we seem to be doing right now talks about electronics. But there was an interesting article in the Wall Street Journal, I believe. It was about autonomous cars. So, you know,
This one was neat.
It was a different perspective, because we don't think about, you know, I was saying, when my wife takes a call from the state and she's at home, they say, oh, there's 15 minutes, blah, blah. She gets paid for that. Well, if your employees now are going to hop into cars, you know, half an hour before they go to work,
mm-hmm.
but the car drives itself and they're doing work, are they on the clock? You know,
yeah, your workday start at 7 instead of 8?
Yeah, you pull out the little table in your car, right, you know, and just start working there while the car drives. It was interesting. I think only because it's thought provoking on, you know, where does workday start? Where does your insurance start? Where's the liability of the company start?
Oh,
you know,
yeah, good point.
If you're taking a call and you're on a phone conversation, you get an accident. I mean, there's all these different things to think about. And insurance companies just have to be losing their mind over this stuff.
Oh, I'm sure there'll be some formula. They'll have it figured out why your rates jump 20%. No, I don't know. It's fascinating to think about, because as we know, in the last, I don't know, 25 years, I'd say, since the invention of like the cellular phone and even smartphones, but even cell phones in the 80s, I knew there were some people that like, oh, this is my office. It's my car is now my second office. And, you know, those are the days where you'd see people in traffic or something on the big Michael Douglas Wall Street phone, phone.
Yeah.
And, you know, like doing some real estate deal or something. But yeah, they've become, since the infusion of technology, they become your second, third office. So, yeah, if you don't have to drive at all and don't have to pay any brain power applied to where you're going, yeah, maybe it becomes your. I don't know. There's some tax loopholes there, too.
Yeah,
who knows?
Yeah. I don't know. Just the future is weird and scary.
Or it's wide open, as Tom Petty used to say.
Yeah. Or it's so bright I have to wear shades, as Timbuk 3 once said.
That song's terrible. It came up on my wife's playlist in her car the other day, and I was like, oh, man.
It was really bad.
And the harmonica solo. And
I studied nuclear science. I love my classes. Got a crazy teacher who wears dark glasses.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's not a really deep song, anyway.
It was also written around, you know, like Chernobyl, so there's that.
Oh, that's, yeah. It was definitely a ray of light in that Reagan era where Sting was singing about Do the Russians Love Their Children, and then you could flip over to that song. So.
right.
Might have been about the same year. I'm not sure.
Get blinded with science.
You were probably about born anyway.
Yeah, I was like 5.
Yeah.
That's cool. I did have, speaking of like initiatives, I did have a Just Say No Club t-shirt that I made with sponge paint. So
did you?
Yeah, I did. I signed a pledge from Nancy Reagan.
What was her name?
What was her? Who's
the girl who drug you into that?
No, man. That was that was part of like health class or something. It was terrible. Anyway, speaking of healthy things, they say an apple a day keeps the doctor away. What do we got to talk about with Apple?
All right, we may edit this one out later, but okay. This is a bonus story. I have some inside information on this.
Are we going to get sued and or killed?
Possibly. All right. So if you don't know, Apple's been kicking around the idea of having an electric car. Mm. And of course, because we talk about electric cars in this show, it's all electric cars all the time. They'd codenamed it Titan, and apparently Steve Jobs actually had a hand in this thing. It's been a substantial number of employees been working on this for the last couple of years. They've hired people from Ford, Mercedes-Benz. They've even put out a headhunter type thing for Tesla employees to try and drag those people over.
Oh, great.
Yeah. But my insider told me this week that they're struggling right now because they're having trouble loading windows onto the car.
You're serious. What is going on with this? Is this real? April.
A scout told me that joke. I was at a scout meeting this weekend. He goes, hey, you know Apple's building a car? I said, no. I couldn't keep a straight face. That's why I said, I'll edit this
gullible.
Out.
Gullible.
He goes, yeah, they can't get it to work because they can't get the windows on it or something. We'll edit that one out. We can edit that one out.
No, I mean, you can leave it. It's fine. You're just a twerp. That's fine. Inside track. All right, in other news, we've got some local-ish
ish.
News. I like that caveat there. Rivian Automotive was the successful bidder of the big liquidation auction of the former Diamond Star slash Mitsubishi Motors plant in Normal. They took that over with big plans to start making electric cars here, but they've been pretty tight-lipped. Eric, what do you know about what's going on?
Okay, so I think when we talked about them here a couple months ago, a couple episodes ago, it was Rivian was saying they were going to have a model for us to see, I think in May or June, but that never happened. But for whatever reason, R.J. Scringe made himself available to Bloomberg and did one of those cheesy 7 or 8 minute pitches in front of their cute girl of the moment, on Bloomberg TV, and did a lot of we're gonna have this and so we're gonna do that. I mean, it was every sentence started with so. But he seems like the type of guy, the cult of personality that kind of like drags along, the crowd of people behind him. He's just kind of got that kind of a weird, artistic, weird mind that that makes people follow along.
He's like real life TED Talk, everywhere he goes.
I would say that's a great way to place him. Anyway, the one thing he was really talking about, they have the skateboard technology is what they call it. And I think somebody else said, did you say that you knew somebody who'd been in their factory?
No, I don't.
Somebody at work told me this. They knew somebody when it made it in there. I guess they have full-blown cars all over inside there.
No kidding.
Yeah. So I don't know what they're waiting for, but on the talk on Bloomberg, they kept showing the same three photos over and over. Nice guy holding a clipboard, over a clay car they're working on, and people dancing in the sunlight and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But he was talking about with their skateboard technology that they were going to have an SUV. They're all about an SUV and an off-road truck. He talked about fishing, camping, and off-roading. He was very, very clear that they wanted to have a vehicle that would do, outside stuff. It didn't have to be a car that was stuck truly to the pavement.
Yeah.
So it was kind of interesting to me because I'm an off-roader. But if it happens, I think that's a great avenue. And I was telling you earlier, I think when you have a company like this, and we kind of give them crap all the time because we don't know what's going on over there.
It's all a big secret. It's all like mad scientist stuff.
It's like Wonka's chocolate factory.
Right. That's right. Waiting for him to do the somersault and let everybody in.
Yeah, give me a golden ticket so I can see what's going on in this place.
But there's probably a real reason for that, though.
Well, okay, yeah. So you're privately invested. You have people have millions of dollars there. You're building something. I'm sure they have full entry to go in there and see what's going on. But the minute you roll this thing out and you show people what you're building, there's people already trying to mimic what you're doing. There's factories in China that just copying whatever they see us do over here.
Absolutely, and they're ready to spool up and put something out in 6 months, even if it's not great or it catches fire.
Yeah.
I don't care. They'll sell a couple million before it ever goes into the court.
Yeah, and you'll never be able to sue them. No. It's just like the ones who make the DVDs. You think you can ever chase those guys down?
No.
Nah. So if this happens, if they actually make a truck, I think that's pretty cool. Now, they did make mention that major world players in the automotive market are interested in their skateboard technology. So,
hoverboards? What are they
it,
like?
It literally is a platform that you could place the body of anything on top of.
Okay, so it's basically a chassis that is kind of swappable with different bodies.
Yeah.
Okay,
they call it, their code name is skateboard, but because the flat part is the battery, and then you have the wheels underneath it, and you can do whatever you want because everything's electronic. So you have electronic steering rack. You have, the electric motor is almost integrated into the battery area.
Suspension shocks can be magnetic now. So
at that point, you just have to figure out a way to slap whatever you want on there. You want a station wagon? You want a sports car? You do whatever you want with it.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting way to modular build things. I understand that.
Yeah.
So. I'm anxious. I'm anxious to see what happens. Not just I'm not anti-Tesla or anything like that. I mean, we kid, we joke around a lot. Yeah. But what I like to see is competition. I don't like to see just like with Steve Jobs, a fantastic guy. Apple products are great.
He wasn't so fantastic, actually.
Well, in real life, I've seen some stuff. But
Austin Kutcher made him look like a jerk.
Yeah. Austin Kutcher is a, anyways. No, I do like the fact that there's other people out there who might embellish on the design or a concept. And off-road, 4x4s, SUVs, that's an area for electric vehicles in this country we have not touched.
No, you're right.
And there's an awful lot of this country that people need something that is a little bit more out of the box. You're not going to take a Model S and go up to the,
I will say
Lake
this.
Tahoe.
I've been up to the top of some of these mountains,
mm-hmm.
and I've seen some Chrysler 200s and stuff that made it way further than they should have up there.
Seriously?
So, oh, yeah. I think they must be rentals. Sometimes you get up there.
I don't care. It's a rental.
Yeah. What the hell? Why is this car up here?
Those tire chains? Yeah. It's not a Crown Vic. Who cares?
No, but the electric car market is, I hope we see about four or five manufacturers pop up like this.
I do too, because you can't count on the big, you know, the big networks, the big
networks.
Powerhouses.
I like networks. Yeah.
Well, they're only going to do what they're going to do and what sells, and
unless it's Ford, then it's going to cut everything but trucks.
Yeah, that's.
We'll get to that later.
Yeah. Right. If you need an obsolete rubber part, this is out of nowhere.
This is great. I love this. Is the stuff that Daryl needs to bring to the show.
This is some random.
This is the antique information on the show.
Yeah. Say you have an old, I don't know, Hudson Hornet, and you're looking to replace the, you know, some bushing or a piece of grommet that goes through the firewall for your radio antenna, and it's just you can't find them anywhere. You're not going to make it yourself. You need somebody to make it special. Well, of course, there's one-off things. You can open up Hemmings Motor News and find a guy who will do it for $300 for this little, you know, 4-inch rubber thing. Or if you're in the greater Peoria area or points in between, a place here in town called USA Silicone, which makes, I'll just say, novelty products.
Yeah,
I'll just say that.
Adult novelties, you said.
Yeah, for older folks, if you catch my drift. They also will do
not
one-offs.
Children's toys. Okay, I get it.
Yeah. Well, they might. I don't know. But they
anyway, sidetrack.
They actually will make your custom part for you out of urethane or a special type of rubber or silicone, and it's pretty cool. Now, they don't really advertise that, but they also do side projects for other big, I'll just say, heavy equipment manufacturers who happen to be around here.
Located in the Peoria area.
Right. Yeah. But they are a great resource, so if you ever need something one-off and you don't really want to mess with the make-your-own silicone kit at home, this is really cool stuff. I know a lot of folks make bushings out of nylon, and there's some other Delrin, you know, that kind of stuff. And that works for some applications, but if you really need something where, you know, something softer or a urethane for, you know, maybe a race car seat mount or something, I don't know, give them a call. They are at 309-672-1588, and they're on Adams. You can look them up in the Yellow Pages.
Everything that is, like, made and, like, gritty and dirty of their hands is made on Southwest Adams.
That's right.
What I'm going to say.
It is. Peoria, I tell you what, man. Youngstown, Ohio is the same way. There's a lot of, like, Rust Belt cities where there's still a dude who will rebuild anything.
Yeah.
Or there's a machine shop.
Or a bearing shop. Or
yeah.
Something. Yeah. Or we redo windings on, you know, this stuff here and there. Yeah,
fantastic.
It's awesome. Yeah. And nobody ever utilizes that stuff. They need to. It's just like disposable economy. It sucks.
Yeah. My dad still takes, you know, his generator and starters and stuff to a place up by him in Round Lake where it's this young guy who does it. I think it was his dad's business or something.
Yeah.
You know, the workbench is, you know, 50 years of crud on it. But you know what? For, you know, $35, he'll redo your stuff, put new bearings, bushings, whatever you need, and you're good to go for another 50,000 miles.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It's great. Or you could throw it out and buy one on eBay. Good luck. It'll get you 2 years. Speaking of old car stuff, I just want to throw kind of a personal note. I did have a friend of mine pass away. He was in the antique car club with me. I won't say his name or anything like that.
I'm very sorry to hear that. I know it sounded like that was he seemed like it was a bad loss.
Yeah, he was a good guy. He was up there in years. He was 81 years old, but he was one of those 81-year-olds who's still like, I'm going to cut my grass. Oh, and then I'm going to reshingle this roof on the shed. And then I'm going to rebuild this transmission in this, you know, this old car.
Yeah.
The guy was one of those just super handy guys. He's a retired construction worker of sorts, and just tons of respect for this guy. And he kept the same car running and looking like the day it was built for like almost 50 years.
So what was his ride?
He had a 41 Plymouth. Or 40 Plymouth. I'm sorry, 40 Plymouth. And it was just.
How dare you get that wrong?
Nah, they're all the same. Yeah. It was really cool, though, to see because, you know, I'm a younger guy-ish, and I'd see him at every cruise night I was at. I'd see him around town getting groceries in the thing. No air conditioning. It'd be weather like this, like 95 degrees. He'd just be out there with the vent window open, just chilling. I got a lot of respect for that. I say that generation, but folks that are, like, my grandparents' age, I'll say, who are just my grandfathers are both the same way. They're just. They are can-do kind of folks.
Yeah.
And I know my dad's a little different. I'm a little different. I mean, the older I get, there's like, yeah, I'll pay someone to do this.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Oh, yeah.
There's still some a modicum of respect that I give somebody who can have someone do everything for them. But it's like, I'm going to roll up my sleeves and get it done. So, yeah, I had a little beverage in his honor at the Irish Fest over the weekend, and yeah, it was a pleasure knowing guys like that. So,
and so you're friends with his kids or something too? Is that?
Yeah, yeah, and his kids are still part of the car scene and stuff. Yeah, they're good people, and yeah, the family, I'm sure they're going to take care of his old car. But I guess the moral of the story, the takeaway there is, you know, even if you have a nice, rich, full life, at the end of the day, it's still your life. And I get out and do what you want to do. If you want to start a project, you want to get that, you know, that British sports car you've always wanted, do it now. Don't wait. Don't keep putting, oh, I'm going to wait till we're more stable or the kids are out of school.
That doesn't work.
No, man.
Yeah, because that leads right into what I was going to tell you. And so you were like, I'm going to pull this segment. I'm going to talk about this because we do show notes for the show. I'm like, no, don't. Because I will call him a friend because he was a friend in high school, but he was only 47. He passed away this last week. His name was Scott. And I'm going to read you part of his obituary here. He described himself as a bungee jumping, parasailing, Harley riding, parachuting, scuba diving, Jeep driving, going Mach 3 with my hair on fire kind of guy. That was part of his obituary. And I'm like, the Jeep thing. And I put on there, punk, you know, the Jeep. Always got to be about the Jeeps.
It's a Jeep thing.
He had colon cancer and he literally had 3 months. He got diagnosed May 16th. Or somewhere around the beginning of May, and told us all about it, and he's just passed away this past week.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah, at 47, man. That's just nuts. So I agree completely. As a matter of fact, my wife's aunt came in the other day. She said, oh, I got one of those genealogy things where they can do your DNA scan or something like that.
Oh, yeah, 43andMe or whatever.
Yeah, it's exactly what it's 43andMe. And I know this from listening to Marin, because Marin was talking about it. You can tick off an area for Parkinson's or Alzheimer's, whether or not you want them to tell you if you're disposed for that. And I'm like, well, yeah, if I know that, there will be no money in the savings department.
Oh, it changes everything, doesn't it?
If I know I'm at Parkinson's, my 401k, first off, I'm not putting any more money in that
thing. How much is that island outside of Fiji? Can I buy an island?
Yeah, or even that sports car you're talking about or whatever. Because screw it, man. It's you know, I didn't work my whole life just to pass away, you know, before I was 50. So
yeah, absolutely. Well, sorry for your loss. That's tough.
Yeah, and you too. But you know what? Life lessons, and that he could not have written a better obituary. That was awesome. And I think as he wrote that, he was smiling, and he knew, you know, that people were going to be upset and pissed, and I think that was a perfect way to counter that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So we got the question of the week segment that's coming up, which means that we're on the downwards trend here.
Yeah.
Wrap things up on a high note. We don't want to leave it with some you know, some doom and gloom there. But let's talk about what your car knows about you. I remember years ago we were talking before the show. I read something in Car and Driver, Road and Track. I can't remember. I had a subscription, I think, years ago to both of those. And they were talking about data loggers.
Mm-hmm.
What data in newer OBD2 cars is preserved in like almost like a non-volatile flash memory kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And specifically, they were calling out fourth-generation F-body cars, Firebirds and Camaros. And they were talking about how insurance companies in, you know, usually fatal or big crashes, they would subpoena that information, almost a black box, if you will, from a car.
Mm-hmm.
And they would tell throttle position, brakes, you know, all that's the average speed, all those things that your trip computer in the car already has stored in it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what? You know, Allstate or country companies or somebody, if you're involved in something or somebody hits you and, you know, terrible stuff happens, they're able to kind of get that stuff, which is interesting. That's a whole other legal show. But at the same time, what is happening with all the data? Eric, you can probably talk about the data and stuff that's in the vehicles.
Well, and so it's funny you talk about those F-bodies. I mean, that data was minutia compared to what they know now. I mean, I think as of a couple of years ago, they only knew like the last 20 seconds of what the car was doing. And back then, it probably was very, very sparse information.
Yeah.
No, right now, you know, with the cars with all the safety systems that are on them, and you have video cameras recording now for your lane departure. You have lasers that are set up for the cruise control. These accelerator pedal recalls have brought in tons more information on when the brake pedal's doing and what the accelerator pedal's doing, and right, the average speeds and stuff like that. And when they do these calculations for accidents, and they pull the black box, or actually we don't even pull the black box anymore. We go hook a tablet up to a car, and we read the information off it and get the file, and then send that off to engineers or the insurance company. And they pay, you know, they pay us to go out and do that stuff with these cars.
It's, no kidding.
Oh yeah, you know, the car belongs to the insurance company, or it belongs. It's a crime scene, so
yeah.
At that point, they're going to draw whatever they can.
Interesting.
I don't know what happens with it, but I can tell you now, with even more data, you know, the manufacturers now are streaming this stuff back up to the cars. Manufacturers are pushing stuff out, like we always talk about with Tesla.
Mm-hmm.
But I know with my manufacturer, when you get in the car and you hook up your cell phone, the radio is automatically drawing down information, saying there's an update available for this. There's the SOS buttons, the on-call,
yeah,
those
stuff,
type
yeah.
of things. They monitor stuff real life, and you can enter these. They're not low jacks anymore, but they have like geofences and things set up, so you can watch where cars are at. But the manufacturers have the keys to all this stuff. And
yeah.
So what is the rights? Is somebody who owns a car, and we've talked about this before, like with the blown up Teslas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you own the car, do you actually own the car? Or does the manufacturer still have a stake in that car, and can they draw back any information? When you sign the dotted line to purchase a car, did you sign a data agreement that says that they can do anything with that? I don't think it's anywhere in the contracts. So I think we're still in this gray area, and it's kind of crazy.
It is. It's fascinating to think about. Something I found years ago that, you know, maybe people have talked about. I don't know. But the iPass transponders for the toll roads
yeah.
up north. And then there's the Easy Pass for all the way out to New York. They use it. But they
on
actually
that hideous road called 80.
80.
God, it's
toll
the
road.
Worst road in the history of United States driving. I've been all over
that.
The country. It is one of the worst. It's one of the only ones that locks you onto their exit ramps, so you can only
yes.
go to their gas stations and their restaurants.
Hope you like Sunoco, Ohio, because
yeah.
that's all you're getting. Oh, hey, Dairy Queen, that's also all you're getting.
Yeah.
Hope you're hungry
yeah.
for a blizzard. It's also $10 more than it should be because
yeah, exactly,
you can't
cause
go anywhere.
Exactly, because you can't get off the damn interstate without paying a toll.
I still got, when the Indiana Toll Road opened, I think in 57 or 58, I forget, I still got like a panorama postcard set, like a souvenir postcard.
Yeah.
And it's all like empty highways. It's like post-apocalyptic. It's really weird. But they're just like lanes of shimmering cement and like, you know, like 157 Fairlane running
yeah.
down the road. It's like, wow, and big toll plazas, and there's like 20 people working there. Well, now they've all been fired, and it's just this transponder. But they also, if you go on and log on to your account, we've got one because my folks live up north, so it's just easier. And when you go on to recharge the thing, you can see all the toll plazas at the time that you hit it and stuff. So you could take the data from when you check those toll plazas
yeah.
in and be like, oh, your average speed was, 87 miles an hour. It's like, there's been a couple times where I've done that, and
oops.
It's like, that's all on record somewhere. I could get a ticket mailed to me. But.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Big data.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, this is what you voted for, right? When you put that sheriff in, you know, the county office, you wanted him to be able to take that information and give you extra tickets, right?
On the way here, I was listening to the Peoria City Council. They were talking about the aggressive crackdown on traffic laws because they're doing speed humps and speed tables and striping the road narrower.
Mm-hmm.
If it's 40-mile-an-hour road speed limit, they're
okay.
talking about making the roadbed to, like, 10 feet wide so that it would slow traffic. And the mayor finally said, what do we just enforce the traffic laws that we have with the police that we have?
Yeah, because nobody wants to upset anybody. You know, but everybody loves the automated systems where when you drive through something, it automatically gives you a ticket or something. You know,
yeah.
Oh, well, shame on you, but no cop had to get his hands dirty, you know, writing this ticket or something like that. But I'm telling you, man, it's all an intrusion. This may sound sick and twisted, so just bear with me.
On.
Yeah, I'm sorry. But I always put it this way, you know, if you were to commit a crime halfway across the country, remember the girl who she was an astronaut and she wore like a diaper to drive across the country to commit, you know,
yes,
to try
some
and murder
guy
her
that
ex
she liked, and yeah.
But with all the traffic cameras now, you could never be that psychotic who either
no.
tries to bury a body 500 miles away or tries to go kill somebody and then drive home that night and act like, oh, I was nowhere. There is so much evidence that when you left your house. Every gas station, every
yeah.
video camera along the way, every traffic camera.
It's true.
Yeah. You can't do it anymore. So.
And if it's not a government type of thing, it's a neighbor with a security camera. It's like, hey, guess
yeah.
what your kid did across the street?
Yeah.
Whoops.
Yeah.
You know, you
it's
can't
nuts.
Get away with anything. So.
Yeah. So anyway, that's my sick and twisted moment.
Just behave, okay?
All right. I'll try.
That's what it's all about. Is it time to talk about cars of the week?
Yeah, let's get – this is the our favorite part of the show.
Yeah.
And we got some interesting ones this week. Kind of
yeah.
A departure on both of our parts, maybe.
Well, I'm looking at yours. Yours still looks like like a kid made it.
But you got out of the 90s, so I'm happy for that.
I did. I picked a little classic car, but it's a classic car from the Czech Republic, which is totally bizarre.
I would expect no less from you.
Well, that's what happens when you have the internet. Bringatrailer.com, which is another great sponsor potential, hint. Wonderful website. You can follow some really cool cars people put on there, and it's an online auction site, but you get some really cool stuff, including this, which just sold today for $134,000.
That price tag blows my mind.
Yeah, $134,000. It's a 1950 Tatra T87, and if you know what a Tatra is, then you definitely know what it is.
And you definitely are friends with Daryl.
Yeah, it's bizarre stuff. If you didn't know what that is, you can Google it. Just look at Tatra car, T-A-T-R-A. They made Czech, they were back in Czechoslovakia day. So they were a car company that was, I think, for like the rich. And what they made was these giant sedans with kind of swoopy lines. They look kind of like a cross between a Volkswagen Beetle and a Tucker and maybe like a Bentley. Just kind of a goofy setup. But they were rear-engined, air-cooled, small V8, little 3-liter V8, and a 4-speed manual. They handled really badly, but they were aerodynamic.
But a 4-speed for the 1950s, I mean, that's pretty progressive there.
Yeah. Yeah, they would do over 100 miles an hour back in the day, through some of, like, you know, Czech mountains or something.
Well, you need to do that to get through the roadblocks, you know, through the Iron Curtain.
That's right. They run away. They're just neat-looking cars, and there's a big following overseas, and a lot of them that are here in the States are exported, already restored, real high-end restorations. This one was, this particular one is a beautiful kind of a dark blue. It was restored in the Czech Republic sometime in the 1990s. And anyone who's into vintage advertising or kind of Art Deco-y stuff or just weird things, check out. There's a Tatra website. I think it's a museum run by the company, which stopped making cars in the 1990s. And they have really cool, like, full resolution, high resolution ads. And it's just an absolutely beautiful selection of stuff out there. Classy cars. If you had $134,000, I don't know if you'd want
to
buy
it. Man, I don't know. I mean, but what did that Cadillac go for last week that you were looking at?
Oh, it was, well, what was it, 80-something?
Yeah, I mean,
it was up there.
This is $50,000 more than that Caddy, and I'm sorry. Maybe it's the conversion rate or something, but I don't know.
You'd be the only one at a car show with one.
Yeah, at least with a Caddy, you'd have a chance of getting a bushing or something like that, right?
That's true. That's true. Everything here, you got to wait 6 years for. So what do you got up here? It's a little SUV we got.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of looks like something out of the Lego catalog. This is the Bollinger B1, and I stepped away from any of the used car sites this week because I was talking about the skateboard from Rivian, and it had me thinking in my head about off-road vehicles that are all electric, and it seems to be there are a few manufacturers, and Bollinger is working this angle right now. But anyway, what they built is a truck. It looks kind of like a Bronco, a big 4-seat Bronco.
Yeah.
And the lines are hard on this thing. I mean, they are just straight edges. But it's got two little electric motors in it. They both put out about 160 horsepower. It's got, it's four-wheel drive, obviously. And it's got tons of space in it. First off, because it's electric, like we're talking about the skateboard, I was telling Daryl, you can pop the hood on this thing, and you got wide open cargo area, like a trunk in the front of the car. You got all the space up front. The articulation and the independent nature of electric cars is going to give that car more freedom out on the back roads. And these guys are really catering this towards high-end off-road use. So I don't know. It's kind of enamored. The look is just so cool. And I don't know if that's just a product of the fact that with the electric car, they don't have to worry so much about the aerodynamics because, you know, they have so much torque and so much get up and go in this thing that it's going to get its, you know, 200 miles no matter what they do to the thing. I'm not sure.
Just right angles everywhere. Just make it a brick. Why not?
It's obtuse. Let's just put it that way. Now, one thing I was talking about, some friends and I, we have like a little message group. And last year at the Tokyo Auto Show, Suzuki put out what it looked like a Suzuki Samurai from back in the day, but it was, you know, really cutesy with some neat edges. But what they were touting on that was the independent suspension would be truly independent, where the wheels would kind of drop and raise as needed. And it had four independent electric motors, one on each wheel. So you just had the hub and an electric motor. And I'm thinking, man, you know, we love, especially in this part of the country, we love our giant trucks with all the horsepower. But if you sent me up in the mountains with that little Suzuki and a vehicle that I don't even need to worry about where I'm going, so much fun, much ability. It would totally change the way you think about driving, knowing that you had a car that could stair step or even just step around whatever it needed to.
Yeah.
And just roll. And just nutty technology. The Bollinger, I didn't get a price on. I apologize for that, but I have to imagine this guy's $100,000 to $150,000.
Could you build that in your shed? Could you build that in your backyard? I mean,
if I had this skateboard from Rivian, maybe.
I'm sorry, we can't sell that. It's patent pending technology.
Yeah, well, and I think the cool thing about these vehicles is, you know, these guys have to be thinking about NTHSA, whatever, the airbags and safety rules and stuff like that. So these cars aren't just taking a VIN number from a car in the 1950s and like slapping a repo or, you know, renovation on it and saying, oh yeah, it's a 56 Toyota Land Cruiser. No, this is actually a legitimate new car these guys are making. It's up to the standards, you know, of the highway. It's interesting technology. I'd be interested to see where these type of things go. We got a long way to go for sure.
Yeah, but think about it. I mean, I remember back in the day watching that video of that 70s Blazer crawling down. I think it was in Moab.
Yeah.
And it
down Lion's Back or something.
Yeah, and it lost it.
Oh,
it,
yeah.
It lost it because it's carbureted. It went past a certain point or the angle where it just couldn't pick up the fuel.
Yeah.
And it, of course, it died.
And the boost, the brake booster went out.
Lost the vacuum booster. And so the thing just kept going and going. And it was like a freight train.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, you know, at the time, there's a lot of 4x4 buddies of mine like, well, that's why you fuel inject it. You know, like you put the Holley EFI kit on it and da-da-da. And I'm like, wouldn't it be nice not to worry about atmospherics? So you get a little electric or some battery-powered 4x4. You can do anything you want, instant torque. The only thing, you need like a 6,000-foot extension cord to charge it up at night. But that's the only thing, unless you have like a Mr. Fusion or...
Mr. Fusion be good. Throw a banana peel in there.
Right.
You know, when we're wheeling, and I just did this a month ago, we're not really going that far during the day. I mean, you may travel 50 to 70 miles, you know, but you don't go that far. It takes a long time because you're doing 20 miles an hour the whole time. But
yeah.
But no, you probably get a lot of use out of that during the day. Now, that said, there's not a lot of charging stations up in the mountains. So your end of your day better end up in town at a, you know, at a
good point,
at a Tesla
supercharger station. Or just bring some spare packs, like a little piggyback, like you plug your phone into a little USB pack.
No, that's a whole other conversation, Daryl. Jeez, I've seen it all. There's guys who tow generators behind their electric cars so that way they can keep them charging while they're driving them. And at that point, what was the point of the
thing?
Electric? Yeah, and the Volt isn't too far removed from that. So anyway,
to be continued.
Exactly.
Along with some, you know, actual fuel type vehicles.
Next, I think what we should have is a petrol only edition.
Okay, just a petrol blowout.
Yeah, yeah,
that sounds great.
All right, I think we'll do that next time.
Sounds good. Let us know. We'll post these cars up here with a picks of the week and some other things on our website. And I promise to start adding content to throwinwrenches.com.
I thought I'd write an article too, but then I didn't do it.
Yeah, I think about things, but that's about where it ends. So we'll get on that. We'll do some recaps and maybe some look-aheads and whatnot. So be sure to like us, follow us, subscribe to us, let us know how we're doing, and give us some show ideas too. Always love to hear some topics. What are you thinking about? What are some industry trends or things in the hobby that you like or you don't like? I'm going to come back to this. This is future reference for me. The Petrolicious, I can't even talk tonight. Petrolicious series.
It's that beer from New Glarus. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's all one of them. That series on YouTube, it's like sponsored by Turtle Wax.
Okay.
So now they do product placement. So they got like guys with like a Ferrari Lusso spraying it with
Turtle Wax.
I'm like, that doesn't happen, or does it? Do you guys use Turtle Wax? Let me know, because I got some as a gift. It's a great product. Wouldn't mind being a sponsor, but would I spray it on a Ferrari? I don't know.
I love Turtle Wax. Ding. I'll hold up some Turtle Wax next to my truck. Anyway.
Let's do it.
All right. So for Throwing Wrenches podcast episode number 4, this is Eric.
And I'm Daryl. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.